Well, after a month, it feels weird to be back in the studio, doesn't it?
Hello!
Back in the studio.
Yeah, back at it. This is Ask an Atheist with me, Sam Mulvey, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And a lot has been going on since we were out of town. And almost like immediately after we finished doing our recording session, some really kind of bad news happened.
Many things, right?
Yeah. A fire at Planned Parenthood office in Pullman, Washington was ruled to be an arson by authorities. A spokesman for Pullman police said that a video showed a flammable object thrown through one of the clinic's windows. Nobody was injured in the fire, which was started at around 3:30 in the morning. Pullman police are working with a federal terrorism task force and have offered a $10,000 reward for information on the case. Planned Parenthood says the damage will keep the clinic closed longer than expected and hopes to open a temporary location soon.
They're looking at about 2 months to reopen and offer these kinds of essential services that we all know that Planned Parenthood does offer, like general maternal care, prenatal, perinatal, postnatal, women's health, wellness checkups, all kinds of things like that.
People hear Planned Parenthood and they think, oh, well, you know, if you decide not to have a children, not to have a child, that's where to go. Except they're really serious about the whole parenthood part. Like, they provide a lot of care for development and for maternal care and all sorts of stuff.
Well, and there's particularly a lot of stuff that not just women, but men get a lot of healthcare needs taken care of there.
I have been there several times myself. I got
STD
no problem saying that. Yeah.
Cancer screening. There's all sorts of crucial things that you can go to Planned Parenthood for, and it's super affordable.
And that's the point.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
So people can't help but understand and notice that in the wake of a lot of blown out of proportion rhetoric about the supposed ills of Planned Parenthood, that these kinds of reactions happen and are unfortunately sort of the side effect of people at a political level and at a media level having attacks on Planned Parenthood.
So let me give a little hot take here, if I can, for the moment. Is it unreasonable to say that maybe the people who were fanning these flames by releasing these videos about Planned Parenthood that were...
That was a pun in poor taste, sir.
That was. It was unintentional. And
okay,
poor taste.
All right.
Okay. But, you know, these videos that were really edited to make Planned Parenthood look as bad as possible to, like, rile people up against them, should they be held somewhat responsible?
Well, it's speech, so, but incitement to riot is a thing. I would lean towards no, because it's speech. But
I would lean towards morally and ethically responsible. Yes, I think that they have pushed into the public discourse something that is false and something that is, well, here's one, I can't think of a better term, and this is not meant to be in any poor taste, but incendiary. It literally incites the ire of people that believe lies about Planned Parenthood, lies about physicians and medical practitioners that are helping people's lives improve.
Yeah.
So I would say no. I mean, free speech, etc.
Well, I'm with you on the
moral and ethical level.
Yeah, on morally and ethically, I think you have a point. But and that's a big thing that I don't think people like people who want to go firebombing Planned Parenthood or,
right,
you know, changing laws so that you have to, you know, wear weird clothing and be told lies at Planned Parenthood when you're trying to get medical care. Is ethical and moral is not the same thing as legal. These are supposed to be differing concepts.
True. And maybe I don't mean responsible from a legal standpoint, but responsible from a social standpoint.
I think a case could be made for that. And I think that's definitely something that they should have to respond to and something that they should be brought to task force. But should they end up in jail? Of course not.
You speak about the
person who firebombs a Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, they belong in jail.
Yeah,
yes.
For a very long time.
You mentioned the crazy laws and everything. I reminded of the story of the doctor, I believe in Texas, who gives all of his clients a form that basically says, "The state makes me say this. It's really stupid."
I was reminded of making you wear weird things of earlier in February of this year, the Montana lawmaker that tried to
ban yoga pants,
ban anything that would simulate or reveal or pretend to reveal anything below the belt. So that was.
Is that what yoga pants are for?
Apparently, if they're beige, if they're skin toned, then it might simulate the the region below the belt.
There is that picture of, I believe it's a Croatian women's biking team, like the Tour de France team, and their uniforms are white except for the slash of beige from about their belly button to their thigh, and it just looks wrong.
Well, that's what our Montana law.
All right, I guess they can't do that in Montana then. So there's another thing going on that I don't think we've actually talked about on the show yet.
Yeah,
we have, right? But not since she, Kim Davis, I think we're all kind of getting sick of it, though.
When we talked about Kim Davis, she was one of those little sort of splinter stories that people on way on our side and way on the religious side talk about, but the vast majority of people probably had no idea what was going on.
And that exploded in a big way.
Yeah, I mean, this was in the wake of the Supreme Court ruling legalizing marriage equality basically throughout all 50 states. And so there were lots of little reactions and things coming up. And how's this going to play out at a local level, and the county level, state levels? Who's going to challenge it? And oh boy, did Kim Davis challenge it.
Yeah.
And then we put her in jail for being a Christian. That's
Clearly. Not for not doing her job, not for not being in contempt of court.
Not for breaking the law. No,
it was us personally who did it, right?
Yeah. No,
of course.
I turned
the secularists are the ones that put her in jail for her Christian beliefs.
I turned the key myself, I tell ya.
What I really wanted to get out there, because it took me a while to realize this, Kim Davis had this moment when she got out of jail and she has Mike Huckabee there, and I believe even Josh Feuerstein was there.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And there's a big rally and everything.
It's a star-studded gala of pretty much everybody I hate.
Yeah, pretty much. And then they're playing, of course, Survivor without Survivor's permission, which is hilarious and everything, and she's raising her hands and she's giving credit to God, and it looks like this big victory celebration. It's tough in that moment to remember she lost everything. There is not one thing that she was trying to accomplish that was accomplished.
Right.
She went from I am not taking part in this to I kind of like to be out of jail, and we kind of gave her that one just because she lost all the rest.
Right.
I mean, this is like,
well, is she still employed by the county?
She is, because she's an elected official,
okay,
and because she's an elected official, only the state legislature can fire her, and they don't meet in session again until January.
Do you think it's going to be on their list of things to do, or do you think they're going to rally behind her because religion?
Because Kentucky?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of weird religious stuff there. Isn't that where the museum is, the Creationist Museum? Is that Kentucky?
I thought that was Kansas.
Oh, okay.
There's various creation museums. Kentucky is the Ark Park, is it not?
No, I think they're both in Kansas, aren't they?
Okay.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, well, and we will say that, you know, I will say at least, that the past 2 weeks has been a refreshing amount of people of all different religious inclinations basically denouncing her. In my social circle, in my collegial circle, and just in my general interactions, a great many people have been universally saying, all right, enough already. You've lost. Get over it.
Right.
So that's buoying. And I'm sure in Kentucky as well, that is the case. I mean, you had any time that Kim Davis showed up to work and you had people going to request their marriage certificate, their marriage licenses, you had an equal number of protesters and counter-protesters. You had an equal number of Kim Davis supporters and Kim Davis protesters.
Right.
So even in Kentucky, you have people saying, do your job already. You have lost.
I do think there's an interesting aspect to this, and that's Mike Huckabee, who is running for president, has a fascinating campaign strategy, which is, I'm going to go around the country and make sure everyone knows that I don't understand how the law works, and then run for the highest office in the country.
Profit. and he's actually said things as absurd as, well, if I am president, then I can just eliminate the Supreme Court's power kind of thing.
Yeah.
He said,
if I become president of the United States, I will declare war on the United States. Really, dude?
I thought it was kind of absurd. I mean, I literally thought I was reading an Andy Borowitz article or an Onion article or something.
Yeah.
So, wait, did Mike Huckabee just volunteer as tribute? Has he entered the Hunger Games? Didn't he volunteer? He volunteered if Kim Davis was remanded back to jail.
I thought he was on a Messiah trip, personally.
I had no idea.
Give us Barabbas, right? at the Ark Encounter, Ken Ham's Ark Encounter, and Ken Ham's Creation Museum are both in Kentucky.
Oh.
Williamstown is where the Ark Encounter will be, which is great because they're having so much trouble building it. Like, maybe that should be, maybe that should tell you something.
I said corrected.
Yeah. And then the other place is like somewhere else in Kentucky, whatever.
There's also one in Montana, so.
There is, and yeah. we should do a field trip. Actually, anybody up for a field trip to the Montana Creation Museum? Yeah, give us a call. Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. I would not mind doing that at all. I've always wanted to go to a creation museum. So, Kim Davis, Macon 80 Large.
Mm-hmm.
In Kentucky, which that goes a long way.
Yeah,
it does go a long way in Kentucky. And what I actually calculated, I, as a public school teacher, 10 years of experience, highest level of certification that I can get in my field, right? Master's degree. Kim Davis makes more than 150% of what I make.
Wow.
Yeah, yikes.
And I'm doing my job. I went to school this week. Yeah. I taught my 6 classes. Man. That sort of gets under my skin.
Well, and
a bit.
The thing is, okay, so maybe she shouldn't be forced to sign these things. That's fine. That's what deputies are for. Deputies who she told could not. Yeah, they would be fired if they signed these marriage certificates. So it wasn't that she didn't personally want to be involved with something because her personal beliefs said that this was wrong. She wanted to make everybody in the entire county live according to her standard. This isn't speech. There's nothing. There's no freedom aspect to this other than the freedom of the freedom denied to do what is rightful and legal and good and moral and whatever.
Right. She is restricting someone's access to their own government.
And so everybody talking about how, you know, this is a religious freedom case, she should be allowed to do whatever she wants. I urge you to actually look at the details of the situation because you were woefully misinformed.
Right.
I mean, straight up, I believe in the concept of religious freedom. I've said so every time I have to go talk to Jim McCune, and I do. But when you are a member of the government, when you are working in the government as an elected official, you're not speaking for yourself. You're speaking on behalf of the nation, or the county, or the state, or the village. This is Ask an Atheist.
People.
Yes, this is Ask an Atheist. 844-SKEPTIC. 844-753-7842. We're gonna go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to have a section in Spanish. A really great interview, and then we'll be back in English right after that.
Billy! Billy, I am a Nigerian prince and I want to hide $1 billion in your locker.
Wow, $1 billion?
All I need is your lunch money.
What a great deal. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because you want to believe something doesn't mean you should. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled, week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Dorn, and we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is the United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio Versus the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
So, picking you up at 8 tonight?
Sure.
How do I get to your place again?
Get off the freeway, turn left at the burger joint, past the Humanist Center, right at the...
What? Humanist Center?
Yeah, you know, the place where freethinkers have their meetings, hold events, access the resource library, drop their kids off for daycare.
This could be you and your friends in the near future. Contribute to the Humanists of Washington Humanist Center Fund to establish a physical home for freethinkers in the Puget Sound. Go to humanistsofwashington.org and contribute today. That's humanistsofwashington.org.
Hey, podcast listeners.
Did you know that Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey is a radio show?
Radio waves and everything.
If you know of a radio station that could benefit from Ask an Atheist in your area, let us know.
And don't forget to let the station know you'd love to hear us.
So to help us humanize atheists in mass media, email us at stations@askanatheist.tv.
Bienvenido a Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey. Soy Becky Friedman. Hoy le hablo a Joel Medina. Nos conocimos como consejeros en Camp Quest Northwest y está aquí hoy para charlar un poco de su vida como humanista en Puerto Rico y ahora explorando los Estados Unidos. Bienvenido, Joel.
Gracias, Becky. Saludos.
Y pues, creciste en Puerto Rico. ¿Y cómo era tu niñez en Puerto Rico con respecto a la religión?
Pues nací y me crié en Puerto Rico. Viví 24 años allí. Y por parte de madre y padre, o sea, de ambas partes, ambas familias son bien religiosas, así que me crié con unos valores y unos principios bien conservadores y muy, muy religioso. Mis padres son bien fundamentalistas y son bien rectos en cuanto a la familia y a las tradiciones, así que...
Entonces, cuando dices fundamentalista de perspectiva católica, porque asististe a una escuela, un colegio católico, ¿no?
Sí, mi elemental y superior fueron ambas católicas.
Y entonces, en inglés o en los Estados Unidos, cuando se dice fundamentalista, muchas veces son evangélicos, pero no son evangélicos, son católicos.
Sí, quizás a lo que me refiero es a lo más fundamental, ¿no? A la familia y a que tienes que tener una... Pues tienes que eventualmente crear una familia, tener un hijo, tener un trabajo estable. Es la tradición, las costumbres.
¿Y cuándo sabías que ya no creías en Dios o en la religión católica?
Cuando estaba en superior, nunca me convencieron ninguna de las clases de religión, así que eventualmente, poco a poco, incorporándome, pues gracias al internet, a los diferentes foros, mayormente eran sobre videojuegos o pues, perspectivas más cibernéticas, ¿no? Como pues, en estos tipos de foros, pues la gente se inclina más a unas creencias más seculares o más neutrales, y pues poco a poco dentro de eso, pues empezaron mis dudas y empecé a separar de lo que eran pues lo tradicional. Ya cuando entro a la universidad, pues con las clases, con mis amistades y pues con todo lo que conlleva entrar a la universidad y conversar pues dentro de con amistades de diferentes temas, especialmente de la religión, y pues poco a poco pues me fui separando, me fui adentrando más bien a lo que era la filosofía de la religión o la filosofía de la política, que eventualmente conlleva la secularidad, ¿no? Y así poco a poco me fui incorporando en esa separación.
Y recientemente te graduaste de la universidad.
Me gradué de la universidad en el 2013.
¿Estudiando psicología?
Estudiando psicología. Tengo un bachillerato en psicología. Algo que aprecio muchísimo, porque dentro del bachillerato de psicología se trata de mantener una secularidad, una neutralidad dentro de lo que es la religión. Y la Universidad de Puerto Rico se reconoce por ser un espacio de pensamiento crítico que no se tiene fuera de las instituciones o de los recintos. Y aprecio mucho ese bachillerato porque me enseñó a manejar mis problemas internos desde una perspectiva completamente diferente, sin tener en mente que pues algo sobrenatural estaba teniendo consecuencias en mis decisiones. La Universidad de Puerto Rico tiene profesores muy buenos y promueven mucho el pensamiento crítico e intentan mantener separado lo que es la influencia religiosa dentro de las clases. Intentan mantener un espacio, pero de vez en cuando pues sí incorporan pues lo que ellos creen o y la religión católica siempre está involucrada.
Siempre domina la no sé, el discurso, por
sí.
ejemplo.
Sí.
Porque la mayoría de la gente en la isla es católica, ¿no?
Sí.
Entonces, ¿cómo se considera la universidad un espacio bien neutro en la mente de la gente? Pues, en la mente colectiva.
Culturalmente, la Universidad de Puerto Rico siempre se ha reconocido por ser la rebelde. Siempre se ha reconocido por ser la oveja negra. Se reconoce durante la historia que pues la Universidad de Puerto Rico, especialmente el recinto de Río Piedras, que fue el del cual yo me gradué, tiene huelgas propuestas dentro de la comunidad estudiantil o expresiones que van en contra o que no están de acuerdo con las decisiones que se están tomando administrativamente. Y sí, o sea, la Universidad de Puerto Rico siempre ha sido como ese espacio donde la gente, no importa si eres o no eres de la institución, puedes incorporarte y aportar a esa incomodidad, porque ese espacio que usualmente se tiene dentro de la universidad incomoda al resto de la gente. Somos pues los rebeldes, ¿no? Esa reputación se tiene y sí, es como mis padres, por ejemplo, mis padres fueron, o sea, estuvieron muy alegres que estaba entrando a la universidad, pero estaban preocupados por una parte de que estaba entrando al recinto de Río Piedras, porque se reconoce que es el Instituto de los Rebeldes.
Pues, otro tópico. En tu experiencia, ¿cómo es la interacción entre los testigos, los mormones, los protestantes con los católicos? ¿Están como en conflicto?
Pues, desde mi experiencia, nunca he estado cerca de este tipo de interacción, pero lo que he visto es que nunca hay interacción entre estos diferentes espacio. Culturalmente sí se conoce los testigos de Jehová, por ejemplo, que pues culturalmente se les hace, no se les ve muy bien, ¿no? Y porque son personas que van a las casas y interrumpen tu privacidad y es algo constante y pues culturalmente se dice pues no, que no son muy bienvenidos, pero en general el cristianismo es lo que abunda.
Hay un grupo laico, o un grupo secular en Puerto Rico que se llama Humanistas Seculares de Puerto Rico,
sí,
que trabajó con American Atheists en dar una convención regional en agosto. ¿Has participado en sus actividades?
No, viajé a los Estados a principios de junio y cuando llego a los Estados me entero de este grupo de humanistas seculares de Puerto Rico y pues me comienzo a enterar de todas las actividades que han tenido y pues cuán activos ellos están y pues yo estaba un poco frustrado acá, viajé a California y estaba como que no, o sea, viajé a California ahora, entonces me entero que están humanistas seculares de Puerto Rico, están ateos por Puerto Rico y están pues estas personas que están comenzando un movimiento allá en Puerto Rico y yo acabo de viajar a buscar lo mismo, así que fue confuso, pero sí, o sea, estoy consciente de la organización y sé que del 21 al 23 de agosto pues van a tener la primera convención de ateos en Puerto Rico.
Y entonces, si estuvieras en Puerto Rico, ¿habrías participando en sus actividades?
Sí, definitivamente. Sí.
Pero estás aquí en los Estados Unidos, entonces estás aquí explorando las comunidades seculares y humanistas aquí. ¿Por qué has decidido viajar por unos meses en los Estados Unidos? ¿O qué buscas aquí?
Bueno, Puerto Rico ahora mismo está pasando por una crisis bastante fuerte. Son 73 billones de dólares que Puerto Rico debe y mi salud no estaba en juego trabajando donde estaba trabajando y decidí renunciar y empezar a viajar. Visité el año pasado California por unos cuantos días y me gustó mucho la cultura del viajero. Cuando volví a Puerto Rico me di cuenta que era algo que necesitaba hacer y decidí renunciar a mi trabajo, ahorrar un dinero y empezar a viajar. Tener ese tipo de experiencia cultural diferente que no había tenido porque no había viajado a más ningún otro lugar. Y no, igual viajé cuando era pequeño, pues no tenía la misma mentalidad que tengo ahora. Y se puede decir que, pues sí, he viajado, viajé a Florida, tengo familia allá, pero con la intención de quedarme en un lugar y no volver otra vez a Puerto Rico, pues sí, esta es la primera vez.
Pues participaste en dos campamentos de verano seculares para jóvenes, Camp Quest Northwest, y aquí en Washington, y Camp Inquiry en Nueva York. ¿Qué te atraía a estos campamentos?
Inicialmente me enteré de los campamentos leyendo The Cult Illusion de Richard Dawkins y me enteré de Camp Quest y la curiosidad me llevó a buscar otros campamentos que estuvieran trabajando con la misma línea de pensamiento y así llego a Camp Inquiry y incorporarme en campamentos para niños ha sido algo que exploré cuando era bien pequeño.
¿Entonces asistías a los campamentos juveniles cuando eras pequeño?
Sí, tuve unos campamentos que eran de liderato, ayudaban pues a trabajar con los miedos, a trabajar con el enfoque y de cierta forma fui líder o trabajé no con niños que eran menores que yo y me interesó mucho pues incorporarme de nuevo en ese tipo de dinámica y luego de graduarme, como tengo más tiempo libre, comienzo a buscar información de lo que son pues las comunidades seculares, las comunidades escépticas, ateas. Y pues lo primero que se me ocurre es, pues mira, creo que lo más fundamental sería trabajar con niños, que es el futuro. Y entonces de ahí partir a lo que sea que
pues yo lo hago toda mi vida porque durante el año escolar estoy en escuela, pues no enseñando el ateísmo, digo, pero de una manera secular, del pensamiento crítico. Entonces estoy de acuerdo que son lo más fundamental es como los jóvenes, trabajar con los jóvenes.
Sí.
Pues, ¿existen campamentos religiosos en Puerto Rico? Porque aquí en los Estados Unidos muchos de los campamentos de día o de residencia son
son como Vacation Bible School. Y no sé si existen como VBS, Vacation Bible School, en Puerto Rico.
Sí, hay campamentos religiosos. Comparados a otros campamentos, por ejemplo, el que yo estaba participando, que era más bien como de liderato, hay muchísimos. Yo nunca asistí a uno, así que no pudiera contestar bien esa pregunta. No, mis amistades, hasta donde tengo entendido, tampoco se incorporaron en ella.
Mm-hmm. Pues, ¿qué hiciste en Camp Inquiry?
En Camp Inquiry o Inquiry estuve trabajando de counselor. Éramos alrededor de 11 y estuvimos trabajando con unos 35 niños. Es un espacio bien limitado, así que la interacción con los niños se dedica más a sesiones, así que tuvimos sesiones con diferentes temas.
¿Como clases o como charlas?
Sí, charlas. Tuvimos charlas con diferentes temas, trabajando el cambio climático, sensibilidad cultural, la moda, fantasía o realidad, y pues incorporando otros tipos de actividades que también promovían el pensamiento crítico.
Uh-huh. ¿Y cómo fue diferente de Camp Quest Northwest? Porque nos conocimos en Camp Quest.
Sí.
Y Camp Quest está en Washington, Camp Inquiry está en Nueva York. Uh-huh. Y pues los dos se dedican al pensamiento crítico, a crear un espacio laico, secular, para uh-huh. los niños, para que agradezcan de la naturaleza. Pero uh-huh. habían diferencias, ¿sí?
Sí, mayormente vienen con el espacio geográfico, ¿no? Camp Quest tiene un espacio mucho más grande y ofrece mucho más oportunidades que Camp Inquiry. En Nueva York era un espacio más, había más árboles, no había un cuerpo de agua, las cabañas eran un poco más pequeñas y viene también con la cantidad de los niños.
Uh-huh.
En Camp Quest éramos como unos 70,
sí.
Así que la cantidad aumenta. Y creo que ahí entra la primera diferencia. En Camp Inquiry, como éramos menos, se controlaba más pues la dinámica que se estuviera haciendo o la sesión que se estuviera dando. Y en Camp Quest, pues, como eran más, pues, era un poco más difícil poder, pues, dedicarle más atención a los niños.
Mm.
Y sí, pero en general, ambos promueven ese espacio para que los niños se sientan cómodos de hacer preguntas o indagar en cualquier tipo de inquietud que tengan y de poder conversar con otras personas de su misma edad para promover esa valentía de poder pues preguntar, que es algo que se pierde mucho cuando uno se está creciendo. Uno se siente avergonzado de preguntar o pues se tiene miedo a pues el qué dirán. Y por lo menos en ambos campamentos pues se trabajó muy bien.
Uh-huh.
Creo que la mayor diferencia viene en la cantidad de niños que se tenían y pues lo que se estaba ofreciendo.
Uh-huh. Entonces, ¿qué opinas de este tipo de campamento?
Pues de este tipo de campamento me parece genial. Es un espacio único que por lo menos yo nunca había tenido la experiencia. Y
yo tampoco como niña.
Sí, exacto.
Yo asistía a campamentos de judíos. Teníamos servicio por la mañana en el sabbat y por la tarde. Estábamos rezando unos par de días y todo eso. También haciendo artes y explorando la naturaleza, pero de una perspectiva religiosa.
Sí. Para mí es una experiencia, fue una experiencia nueva como consejero y como niño, ¿no? Si yo hubiera estado en estos campamentos creciendo, yo hubiera sido otra persona. Y hasta de cierta forma le tengo una envidia sana a estos niños porque están creciendo en un espacio donde
claro.
se pueden desarrollar de una forma que yo no lo hice, que muchos de los niños comentan y se expresan y dicen unas cosas que yo empecé a decir o a expresar cuando yo estaba en universidad. Y para mí, por lo menos, esos momentos en que un niño dice algo que tiene en la mente o pues está enseñando a la otra persona, para mí eso fue único. Yo nunca había tenido ese tipo de experiencia. Aprecio muchísimo este espacio que se desarrolla con la secularidad que se promueve dentro del campamento y con ese elemento de pues de apreciar el resto del mundo desde una perspectiva de pues más directa, más concreta. Y sí, definitivamente eso, tanto los niños aprendieron en el campamento como ya aprendí. O sea, fueron dos experiencias únicas y me encantaría volver a hacerlo.
Pues debo decir que estoy de acuerdo. Cada año lo es igual para mí también. Pues, ¿en qué piensas hacer con lo que has aprendido durante tu visita?
Pues estoy empezando a viajar, soy un viajero principiante y creo que lo principal sería es seguir aprendiendo, ¿no?, de las diferentes experiencias que tenga. Pero mi norte ahora mismo va a promover este tipo de espacio en la isla, que hasta donde tengo entendido no se tiene, y pues se está comenzando ahora con Humanistas Seculares de Puerto Rico y con Ateos de Puerto Rico, en especial con niños, que es algo que es bien delicado y que no mucha gente está trabajando en especial desde esta perspectiva. Así que lo que me gustaría hacer con esto es pues seguir promoviendo ese espacio y ese tipo de pensamiento, ese tipo de acercamiento que se tiene muy poco, especialmente en la isla.
Pues muchísimas gracias por charlar conmigo. Joel, fue un placer.
Igual.
Sí, y muy buena suerte en el resto de la visita y los viajes y las aventuras que vas a tener.
Gracias. Sí, no, definitivamente gracias por tenerme aquí y aprecio muchísimo este espacio también. Es algo que pues seguiré aprendiendo y lo seguiré promoviendo. Y éxito.
Gracias.
Forty-eight hours. 24 hours. 10 minutes to go.
The motorcade appears to have stopped, and yes, it appears as though the governor is getting out now. It's hard to see. My God, the rain is coming down in sheets. I've never seen anything like this. There must be tens of thousands of people out here right now. The streets are shut down. Okay, it appears the governor is making his way toward the convention center. No one knows what he's going to say. The crowd is pushing forward through the storm. The Secret Service is struggling to hold them back. A wave of people are rushing toward the candidate. My God.
Zero. For your consideration, we present Convention and its subject, the nominee. ANNEXRadio.com. Now on iTunes and Stitcher.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to askanatheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to paypal@askanatheist.tv.
If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists with a rational worldview informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Well, I'm feeling patriotic. How about you?
To which patria?
Yeah, there you go. Yes, I'm playing the song of my people, apparently. That is the Soviet Union national anthem, and we'll explain why in a moment, but as you may have noticed, the last segment was not in English. And Becky, you conducted that interview. Can you, those of us who aren't as cool as you are, What were you talking about?
Yeah, so I was speaking with a co-counselor of mine, Joel Medina, and we spent a week together at Camp Quest Northwest in Washington. And Joel comes from Puerto Rico, and he is at this point touring around, traveling around, and learning around the United States. As a secular humanist coming out of a Catholic background and Catholic upbringing, and sort of exploring the greater world and the bigger sort of picture of things, and looking at how other non-religious communities organize themselves and participate in sort of communal learning and child rearing and all sorts of things like that. So really fascinating guy, really fun time to, you know, hang out and participate in Camp Quest, and then having the studio on the air with us.
Cool.
Great, great. So, I guess we should explain why we opened up with the Soviet Union song.
Yeah, you can't over the microphone see me saluting me.
All right,
and
so.
And it had nothing to do with Joel from Puerto Rico.
No, nothing at all. So, a few months ago now, we had Stephanie Guttormson on, who is the, she's works for the Richard Dawkins Foundation.
Right.
But she also has a YouTube channel called Thinking Stephically.
Think steftically.
Steftically. Okay. I'm bad at pronunciation. I'm bad at pronunciation. Adam Miller is a yutz who lives in Arizona, who is a faith healer. And on his website, my favorite, the thing is he's a cue ball. And on his page where his faith healer stuff happens, one of the things he can cure is baldness.
But he doesn't feel like it. Maybe a Star Trek The Next Generation fan?
Possibly. That's true. So he's back. I think somebody tried to talk some sense into him. And he said, yeah, okay, I can't sue for copyright infringement because fair use, blah, blah, blah. Well, he's back. And he's played a very strange card. So in honor of the concept of fair use, here's some of what he said.
Hello, everyone. My name is Adam Miller, and I have been involved in healing work since 1977. I'm a Christian believer, and what has happened recently is I was...
So he's playing the Christian card now. He wasn't doing that before.
By
I think he was.
So-called militant atheists around the country. I believe it was so-called Stephanie Guttormson, who is the operations director for the Richard Dawkins Group. What these people are is communists.
Yay!
The communist rule, they are put as cells around the country in order to disrupt any kind of belief system. My lawsuit is for copyright infringement.
This is where it gets weird.
It has nothing to do with transsexualism. I am now going to reopen that case. We are going to drag this individual into Arizona because he is in Maryland.
I don't think you can do that.
No, I'm pretty sure you'd have to prove standing and a bunch of other stuff.
Everybody follows this lawsuit and understands. They basically attack anybody at random. They have no proof of anything that they're ever saying.
That's rich.
So far with their victims, it unfortunately has been sticking. And many of these individuals do commit suicide, considering the fact that they send them texts that say, you need to commit suicide.
Citation needed.
You're no longer worthwhile as a human being. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you bastards. Mm. What's going to happen is we're going to turn the tide on all of you. So go ahead and just call me. My phone number is 5. Go ahead and send me texts. Go ahead and do videos. I'm sure you'll cut this one up like you do every other one. And we're just going to have at it, because here is what's going to happen. We're going to turn this into World War frickin' 3. So I hope that you are ready to do so, because I think you're all a bunch of gutless cowards that hide behind a computer. And it is time that we do something about the communist idea that you people are representing, and you are not going to take over America. You're not going to do it. So here's what I am, people. I am a spiritual warrior, and what we're going to do...
A God warrior, if you will.
...atheist and any other group that smears and slurs any kind of belief system in this country, I'm going to take them all down. I have zero fear of any of you people, and we are now officially at war with you.
The strangest thing is how his rhetoric has just changed suddenly to this spiritual warfare, Christian warrior, World War III.
Yeah.
He was a faith healer. How could someone who is a healer go to being such a warrior?
And so is he just picking up the copyright infringement thing, or is he?
I think that's the only one he thinks he has a shot at.
Okay.
So that's where
he's because you know what? There are harassing people on the internet. That's absolutely true. There's citations galore on that one.
Right.
But I don't know how you make a play for I am an injured party. I am I am being harassed. My family is being harassed. Come at me, bro. Like. Yeah. That seems like a very weird position to take.
A way to undercut his actual argument in terms of harassment. He's saying, no, I openly invite the harassment. Please come see, let me come see you. And the only thing I'm suing for is copyright infringement. To be fair, Sam, there was no cutting involved in this one, right? You weren't hiding behind a computer, you gutless coward,
no.
Doing any kind of cutting or editing?
No, I did no cutting, no editing. He totally played international. So obviously I played this somewhat in support of Stephanie. And
I want to mention, she has a GoFundMe account to support this current lawsuit.
Yeah.
Her last one, she made a good amount of money and she got the lawsuit covered and then gave everything she didn't spend in the lawsuit to a group called Operation Rescue. No, not Operation Rescue.
Yeah, that's different.
Way different. No, it was a charity that does education for developmentally challenged kids.
Okay.
And so since she gave all of her money away, she doesn't have money for the new lawsuit, so she needs more, which
yeah.
She's promised anything that doesn't go to the lawsuit will go to the exact same charity.
Because lawyers are expensive, and she doesn't have Faith Healer in Tucson money.
Yeah.
Which I imagine is pretty good.
She has atheist activist money.
Yeah.
And I think that there was one thing that sounded from Adam Miller's little piece, his little screed, to be a little bit out of order, or just seems out of the blue. And he said, this lawsuit is all about copyright infringement and has nothing to do with transsexualism. And the apparent thing here is that Adam Miller refuses to recognize Stephanie as Stephanie. And you may have heard Adam Miller use the term he, because at one point Stephanie did not go by Stephanie. And for Adam Miller to be using this copyright infringement lawsuit as a venue to basically denounce atheists, denounce skeptics, and denounce trans women is, I think, abhorrent.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And he's consistently done this. Adam Miller has consistently done this in all of his videos. And he's trying to garner support. He's trying to say, come to me, crazy religious peoples, and we'll form evangelical Voltron or something. And well, he's insulting people left and right.
Yeah, I was wondering, he claimed that we were communist cells trying to take over the country. Can we sue him for slander for that? Like, he is making a specific claim about who we are that is untrue. Like,
yeah.
Slander's pretty
hard to do in the United States.
It also means that it would have to be insulting. Honestly, if you were to say that some atheists are communists, that's true.
Well, it would also have to be false.
Communist cells trying to overthrow the government, on the other hand.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a better case for that than there is for his copyright case.
Absolutely. I mean, but the thing is, I am a communist cell. I myself am a communist cell.
I have a couple communist cells.
Yeah, maybe.
You guys aren't gutless. I'm looking at your bellies right now.
Nice. Yeah, this is just, I love this insane stuff. I do.
One thing I don't love is when people actually do have harassing texts and emails saying you should go kill yourself. Now, we've actually, as atheists, encountered that saying,
yeah.
If you don't believe in the afterlife, then there's nothing to stop you from killing yourself.
I don't condone that, and that's part. He does mention his phone number, and I cut that out because I don't want people calling him.
Right, and
I don't want to give him any more fuel than he's already got.
We are united on this. People listening, do not tell Adam Miller to kill himself. Do not threaten him.
Don't even send him flowers. Just leave him be.
Leave him be. Yeah.
Leave him be.
Let the lawyers take care of it, because here's the thing. We are right. We don't need to resort to dumb tactics because we have the law on our side.
And focus your energies to supporting Stephanie and her GoFundMe campaign to be able to pay for a good legal defense in this case.
Yes.
And it's not like there's a lack of charlatans in this in this world that we have to go pick on this one guy in Tucson as a en masse, you know.
Right.
I think the job of showing the world that this guy is a nut, I think, is pretty much done. I don't think we need to push him any harder.
Mm-hmm. One very puzzling aspect to me is he's invoking all of this Christian warrior language and spiritual warrior language, but he also does this bizarre faith healing that is sort of pseudo-spiritual, spiritual, but not religious kind of stuff, appeals to a lot of crystal healing and everything. A lot of the folks in the States and, you know, in our country that align themselves with spiritual warfare would deem that to be tools of the devil,
right,
which is just baffling to me. I'm not sure how much alignment or allies he's going to get from that end.
It's a very strange situation. And I love these communists are trying to take over America. They're trying to change everything. Isn't it your religious guy? Isn't Mike Huckabee the guy who's trying to basically cancel the Supreme Court? Is that not trying to take over the United States? Or
and the best claim of all is that these people have no evidence for any of their claims.
Yeah.
Says the faith healer.
Absolutely. So we have another piece of news, and it kind of goes hand in hand with this, is we've got somebody who's trying to say that fair use recordings and debunking pseudoscience, harmful pseudoscience, is copyright infringement. And then we've got actual people who are being deprived. I mean, a Seattle court has ordered an atheist convicted of DUI to attend Alcoholics Anonymous meetings as part of his parole, despite his objection to their religious nature. The American Humanist Association has written a letter on behalf of Michael Baker declaring that forcing the atheist to attend AA meetings violates his First Amendment rights by forcing him to take part in a religious group. Baker informed the judge, his parole officer, and his treatment counselor that he felt uncomfortable with the religious nature of the meetings, and he's faced abuse from other members because of his atheism.
The kinds of things that he has encountered at these meetings are really quite abusive language, and saying this is what you're condemned to, basically, as a condition of your parole, really is... on the face of it, an endorsement of a religious program over any of the numerous secular, non-religious, non-spiritual options for recovery, even just in the Seattle area.
Yeah.
I mean, we see this in a lot of places in the world where there isn't any other kind of treatment option besides AA support groups. It's sort of like the thing that's just what goes. But in Seattle itself, I mean, Seattle Atheists, nonprofit organization, has discussion groups and support groups, not an official program and not a sanctioned program, but Atheists in Sobriety. It meets, you know, twice a month. But there's Smart Recovery, there's Skip, there's all sorts of different things that are there. And for a judge to say, no, you must go to this one and this one only, where you are required to have a spiritual power and you are denigrated and can't fulfill the obligations of this parole because you were an atheist, is just wrong.
Yeah, this is an open and shut case. Like, a judge has
it
no
should
right.
be. It's often not.
Well, I think that there's precedent establishing this.
Where?
In California and Oregon, I think there are both cases of atheists being ordered to AA meetings and suing for their right to find a secular option and winning. And so now there's case law that says the judge can't do this.
I didn't know that. I'd heard of situations where somebody objected to being made to go to AA meetings because this particular AA meeting was explicitly Christian and they were told tough.
No, I think that was overturned by judges. Like,
okay. Well, that's a good sign.
We'll love to see how this one plays out. And, I just am very glad that we have things like the Apignani Humanist Legal Institute to assist people in these kinds of cases and being able to defend the First Amendment and free expression rights of individuals, even if they have committed crimes, because this person, as on their parole, they are working their way towards ameliorating their particular crimes.
Right.
It just seems, I find it difficult to find traction discussing stuff like this with the atheism community sometimes, because what I hear a lot is, well, committed a crime, you know, basically not a citizen anymore somehow. I don't know how that works, but I hear it a lot.
What we do have is case law that even people who have committed crimes are entitled to their right to religious expression and freedom from government interference in their religion. When we have people in Oregon, there was a prisoner, an inmate, who had been denied the right to have a humanist study group, whereas people who wanted to have Bible study were entitled to that particular thing, which provides social camaraderie, a time to enhance their spiritual and philosophical inclinations. And he did win, and he did win and has the right to organize a humanist study group.
Right, because in that case, it was very specifically humanism, not atheism, because the jail would recognize atheism, but you didn't get the privileges that a religious group had, which meant that, because in that prison, inmates were not allowed to gather in groups larger than three, unless they were a part of a religious group, and so he wanted to start a humanist group, but he literally could not have a group of people together without sanction from the prison, the authorities.
Wow.
So in
that respect, there is precedent for even people that have committed crimes that are not then they still are entitled to their free speech and First Amendment rights regarding religion.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So we have another piece of news. A Spanish bishop has declared that transgender people cannot be godparents under Catholic doctrine. Alex Salinas, who was assigned a female gender at birth but now identifies as male, requested to become godfather to his nephew but was denied by the church. Bishop Rafael Zornoza Boy, originally intended to overturn the decision, but reached out to the Vatican for guidance. The Vatican upheld the ruling, saying that transgender people do not possess the requirement of leading a life according to faith, and therefore are barred from being godparents. What?
I don't even understand why someone would, like, why the church would even think this matters. Like,
yeah.
I feel like, okay, one thing that churches in general, and there are definitely exceptions, but
absolutely,
churches in general do, is support a family structure. And godparents is a really interesting thing I think Catholics do, where you basically have in the wings somebody to take over if something happens. If your parents get sick, if your parents get hurt, there are people who are established who can come in to care for you.
Right.
I don't see how having someone who's transgender matters. Like,
I don't think it does.
Where in the resume is that anywhere important? Like, can they take care of kids?
Right.
Do they care for this family, or do they want to be a part of this family? This is a good thing. So it's
weird how religious organizations always trump up, you know, how many religious organizations are the United States that have the word family in them?
Yeah.
We're about the family. We're pushing the family. Family is important to us. But every time somebody who doesn't fit in their cookie cutter Wonder Bread concept of a nuclear family shows up and says, hey, I want to participate in this family concept, suddenly they're not about family anymore. They're about the wrath of God.
Right.
At that, as somebody who's had a fairly non-traditional family life, that annoys the crap out of me. Yeah. I mean, it really does.
I think that what this can speak to is that there is a place for separating one's religious identity from one's cultural identity here, because many people who maybe grow up in Catholic substrates see themselves as Catholics through and through, even if you disagree with the doctrine, even if you disagree with the dogma. And there's space here for you to say, hey, you know what? If my church does not permit this to happen, my church does not recognize this kind of family or this kind of relationship as valuable, maybe I can separate myself from that particular culture, from that particular upbringing, from that Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird. I bet you this wouldn't even be a problem in the United States. This is one of those, the Catholic Church has this weird thing where they're not running the show. They tend to be, hey, we're hip, we're groovy, come on by. And then most of the time, I mean, there's always exceptions, but right. Then you get to like South America or Spain or something where they actually have political ascendancy, and it gets pretty bleak in that situation.
Well, and that's one of the interesting things about this story is that Mr. Salinas, his own church said, no, you can't be a part of this. So he appealed to the bishop, and the bishop was ready to say, no, he can be a part of this. We'd rather have him belong with the church. So
right.
The Spanish bishop was actually going to overturn it, but at the last second, he decided, let me just run a message to the Vatican to get their word on this before I go through with this decision.
I got to talk to my boss.
Yeah, and then the boss comes down like a ton of bricks. No, no, you're evil.
I might argue that in a place like the United States, where Catholicism is not ascendant and is not dominant, we might see more likelihood of sort of hewing closer to the doctrine than in a place, say, the Philippines. Philippines, overwhelmingly Catholic, identified, but many, many out gay folks.
That's true. That is true.
So a place where maybe the church does not have ascendancy would have more reason to cleave to closer to the doctrine and say, no, we must enforce a tight, rigid following of our traditions and ideals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, maybe accepting some people we've talked about today. Fact of the matter is, once again, this proves that people are better than their religions.
Right.
Indeed.
I mean, there's good people out there. And that's all the time we've got for today. My name is Sam Mulvey. With me was Becky Friedman and Dave Brulette. You can call us at 844-753-7842. Our Twitter is AskAnAtheistWA. We're on Facebook. You can email us at questions@askanatheist.tv. See you guys next week.
Hello, everyone. My name is Adam Miller, and I have been a communist since 1977.